Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour with Pastor Harold E. Salem. The mission of the Christian Worship Hour is to share the good news of the gospel with a lost world and to encourage and equip Christians to pray for our families and our nations. Please join with us and the members of our church family as we study the incomparable Word of God. And stay tuned to learn more about how you can be a part of God's amazing plan to reach the world. We hope you will be blessed by today's program.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. The Christian Worship Hour has three things in mind. First of all, to glorify God. Secondly, to bring the lost to Jesus, have their sins forgiven, and have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the third thing is those who are shut-ins and aged and sick and can't get around. And we're doing what God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. So we're happy to have you. And we're going to have a sermon today on the Jericho Road. And we've all heard about that. And I just love to preach about the Jericho Road. But before that, I want to read some of the letters. And I want to thank you for the letters. So many of you write in. We read every letter we get. And some of them, we'd like to read all of them, but we always like to share some. And so here's some that I picked out for today. We have one here from Crystal Lake, Wisconsin. And this says, my sister and I listen every Sunday. We love your service and warning the world they need Jesus as their Savior. I'm 95 years old and my sister's 97 years old. We love the Lord and listen to this. We love the Lord and are waiting for Jesus to come and bring us home to our eternal home. Isn't that a beautiful way of putting it? They're waiting for Jesus to come and take them home. And that's what we're all doing. And I'm excited. I'm 94 and I'm jealous of these folks. But I'm waiting for Jesus to come take me home. Oh, that's a great statement. Here's one from Sun City, Florida. I listen on TV every Saturday. I'm a World War II vet. I've been in many major battles on destroyers in the North Atlantic and South Pacific. I survived all these years. I'm 92 years old and still trusting in the Lord. My wife passed away 5 years ago. Keep up the good work for the Lord. I remain your trusted Christian. We're always happy when we hear from our service people. And boy, we owe them a lot. I'm going to tell you, some of them gave their lives and some gave their limbs and some gave a lot of the time out of their life. And we owe them a lot. God bless every one of you. Here is Walcott, Connecticut. Thank you so much for sending me the new booklet on Who Commits Suicide, Going to Heaven. I was so encouraged by this book and so reassured by the Bible verses you quoted. Your writing with this excellent book will reassure so many families who lost a loved one to suicide and has given much peace as one who has made many past attempts for peace. Well, this lady is writing, and she's talking about a little book that I've written, 10 pages. And it is called, If a Christian Commits Suicide, Can He Go to Heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. And now I have died and come back to life, and didn't have visions and heard voices. And we have 8 reasons out of the Bible, what God says about this. And if you'd like it, we send it free and postpaid. And we would like to have it on a free will offering basis if you could send a gift along. But if you're in prison or you're on Social Security and you don't have anything, we'll send it out anyway. And so you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. I'm going to give the address right now. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'd love to send this, and I know it'll comfort your heart. Here is one. This is lady in Billings, Montana. I found your program almost 15 years ago, been watching regularly since. I told my mother about it. She watched it till she went to be with the Lord in 2013 of cancer. I miss her dearly, but feel at peace knowing she's with the Lord. And I underline that feel at peace because You know, God gives us peace. Even when we lose loved ones or some taken away or we have great setbacks or maybe we've got had cancer. I've had cancer and I'm cancer free as much as I can be. I don't know what's going to happen anymore. But many people going through hard times, but you can have peace in the middle of the storm. And God has told us, Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful scripture. Now here's one. Oh, I've got to read this. Now we get some nice letters. We get some little jokes. And here's one wrote in from Steve from Gladstone, Missouri. And he says, it reminds me of a story about an old fellow named Joe. Joe was caught stealing cars and had to appear before the judge. The judge says, Joe, that's the third time you've been caught stealing cars. I'm giving you 20 years. Joe retorted, but judge, I'm already 95. And the judge says, well, Joe, do the best you can. You know, I thought about that. I'm 94 years old, and I think God's saying to me, do the best you can. You're old and you're decrepit and you're going to use a walker and you're way behind the times and you belong to a different generation, a whole different century. I was born in 1921. But he said, the Lord's telling me, do the best you can. Well, now I'm going to tell you something. We can do just so much because we have to have your help. We have to have your prayers. We have to have your gifts. You got to stand with us. You got to help us. And so what you need to do is just watch our service and then you say to yourself, to ask the Lord, now should I support this work? Do I help them out? And if you do, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Christian Worship Hour, box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, you can send it on the ChristianWorshipHour.com. And you can send a gift that way. And if you'd like to have our little booklet, we have a little booklet on this kind of Christian. If a Christian commits suicide, can he go to heaven? Yeah, yes, indeed. You can write for that. And then we have a little monthly paper. We put out a little Bible study. And we call it The New Song. The New Song. And we'll give the scripture that we're going to preach about and the topics of the sermons. And then we have a little Bible study. This time it is Be Thankful. And so we have that. And then we have some excerpts from letters. And you can read what other people are saying. It's just a great thing. Call it The New Song. New Song. And there's your address. You got it on the screen. Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Well, I hope you'll write and I hope you'll support this work. But now let's look at the Jericho Road. And here in this story, we have Jesus. It's a story, and I think it's a true story. Jesus doesn't say, now, here's a parable or something like that. But it's a story that's something that really happened, and these things do happen. And it came about with one of the Pharisees came to him. And a Pharisee was a lawyer, and he knew that Old Testament backwards and forwards. So he knew exactly what God required and what God taught. And so then he comes to Jesus and he says, what should I do? He's in verse 25. We're looking at Luke chapter 10, by the way, if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25 says, and the lawyer puts a question to Jesus and he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus put a question to the lawyer, to this Pharisee. And Jesus did that a lot of times. He put the question back and made them think. And so Jesus says, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And the Pharisee answers, boy, he knew the law. He knew the Old Testament backwards and forwards. And so he says, the Pharisee answers to Jesus and he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus tells him, yes, you've answered right. You act correctly. Love your neighbor as yourself. But then the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, he says, Luke says, but he, in verse 29, he desiring to justify himself said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? See, he wants to justify himself. And so he says, well, who is my neighbor? Now in that day, they had three classes of people. They had the Jew, and they had the Gentile, and then they had the Jew and Gentile that got married, and their offspring was called the Samaritan. The Samaritan was half Jew and half Gentile. So consequently, those poor Samaritans were really in a bad light because the Jews didn't like them and the Gentiles didn't like them. And so they were a class of themselves. And so he's going to talk about this to this lawyer. And then he's starting to think, well, wow, what if this Samaritan is my neighbor? I hate my neighbor. I hate the Samaritan. And I can't love him. And so then he says to Jesus, well, the lawyer says to Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Anyway, I just like to know. And so Jesus says, well, let me tell you a story. And there's a man going from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was the shortest route by far. There was another road you could take and not go through this deep valley, this deep ravine. But it was a shortcut, and a lot of people went that way. But the only problem was that the short way had a lot of caves and rocks to hide behind, and so robbers would hide in there. And when a man would come through, they would jump on him, and they'd beat him half to death or maybe kill him and take whatever goods he had. And so Jesus is telling about a man who's going down through this rocky pass. And Warren Wiersbe says he was a traveling Jew. And so then as he goes through, he's beaten up, he's robbed, he's beaten, and he's left to die. And now he's there about to die, and here comes a priest. A certain priest came by. And when he saw this man lying there all bloody and beat, battered and everything, the priest walked over on the other side of the road, kept as far from him as he could. And then a Levite came by, and he went over and he looked at the man lying there, beaten and dying, and he took a look at him, but then he just moved on too and went his way. And then came this certain Samaritan, and he saw that the man had been robbed and beaten, and so he went over where the man lay, and he lifted him up. He bound up his wounds. He poured oil in to soothe the cuts that he had. He put the man on his own beast. He took the man to an inn. He paid room and board for this man. He stayed with him all night long, stayed with him to help him through the night. And then the next morning he had to go on his way. He gave 2 denarii to the innkeeper to keep him. And he says, I'm coming back in a couple days, and if he's owes you more than that, I'll pay it then. And a denarii took about 2 days to make a denarii. So he gave him a week's labor. And he paid for all of that. So there you have the picture. And it grabbed the Pharisee because it was not a Jew helping a Samaritan, but a Samaritan helping a Jew of all things. And before you can say Jack Sprat, Jesus asked the Pharisee, and he put a question to him, and he said, which now of these three thinkest thou that was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer says, him that showed mercy on him. And Jesus says, you go and do likewise. And poor Pharisee, he almost had a heart attack. I don't know how he ever came out, because that's the last of him. Good enough. But there you have the story. Now there's 3 philosophies of life in this story we want to look at. The first one, the robbers had a philosophy. And their philosophy was, what's yours is mine, and I'll take it. And then you have the priest and the Levite. And their philosophy is, what is mine, and I'll keep it. And then you have the Samaritan's philosophy, and he says, what's mine is yours, and we'll share it. 3 philosophies. You want to know something? We got them right today. They're all over the place. You can find any one of those 3. Just walk down the street, and you wouldn't have to go far, and you'd find all 3 different kinds. So let's look at it now. Let's look at the robber's philosophy. They say, what's yours is mine, and I'll take it. They are the plunderers. They're the one that robbed this man, that jumped on him and knocked him down and beat him up with clubs and whatever they had. They were the thieves and the robbers and the plundering and the hurting and the harming. They were the evil people, these robbers. And we know we need to be very careful, because we can fall into that category before we know it. For instance, let's just look at one way we can be a thief and a robber. You be an old gossip. You take an old gossip, and they can do more robbing and harming and beating. And sometimes a beating with a club is easier than the beating they take with their false stories and their gossip and their big long tongues and their sharp tongues. Evil. Well, listen to what Saint James the Apostle says in James chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And listen, he says, it setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. And so that's what gossip does. And before I go any farther, let me say this. We always talk about the women as being gossips. Well, the men are just as bad. So we're all the same boat. Don't throw it to the women. You're just as bad, Buster. And so here he is. And I've witnessed some old gossip going by the wayside and leaving and talking to people, talking about them and passing over the telephone and getting them in the little clubs and getting them in the corners and passing along things until a person, they've talked about that person till they wish they could die and their life is destroyed. And sometimes they get divorces because of evil tongues talking. How wicked it is. I've witnessed this, reputations destroyed, homes broken up, marriages torn apart, friendships shattered, characters assassinated. St. James says, set on fire of hell. Well, I guess so. The creeps. So that's the philosophy of the robbers. And then we have the priests and the Levite. And they came by, and they have a philosophy, and theirs is what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. And so then they come by, and they look at him. The priest doesn't even look at him. He stays on one side, goes on the other side. And then here comes a Levite, and he comes, and he looks at him. And lo and behold, he goes on the other side too. And then he leaves him. And they're saying, what's mine is mine, and I'll keep it. And we got the world is full of those people. They have more stacked up for themselves. They couldn't live. They couldn't spend it all if they were Methuselah five times over. And what we need to do is be like the Samaritan. And here comes the Samaritan. Now look at him. And he says, what's mine is mine. What's mine is yours, and we'll share it. And he came over to the pitiful scene, and he went to this man lying half dead. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds. He poured oil and wine into them. He placed the man on his own beast. He took him to the inn down the road. He put 2 pence for expenses. He gave instructions to take care of him. He promised, if there's any other charges, I'll pay that. The wounded man was no rich noble, because the Good Samaritan offered to pay all of his expenses. The wounded man didn't have any money of his on him at all. And the Good Samaritan says, I'll pay the whole bill. And if there's more to pay when I come back, I'll pay you. And I'll pay you whatever you need to pay. And he did it just as quiet in a gentle way. And he's a picture of what a neighbor should be. Now, you know, in many ways, this story pictures all of humanity, all of mankind. The devil has robbed us and stripped mankind of the innocence we had in the Garden of Eden. The devil did that. The devil has broken our fellowship with God and robbed us of our spiritual life. The devil has robbed us and beaten us and have some left by the wayside and left to die. The devil has stripped us and left us on the brink of a Christless eternity. And many have come by and they've looked. Moses and the law came. Aaron and the sacrifices came. They looked, but they didn't do anything. The patriarch, the prophet, the priest, they were all helpless. And then came the Good Samaritan. And who is the Good Samaritan but Jesus? Beautiful, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And Jesus comes, and he tore away the filthy rags of sin, and he bound up the wounds with his love, and he poured the Holy Spirit within us to aid us and comfort us, and he lifted it up, and he had to put our feet on the solid rock, and he established our goings, and he gave us a home in glory, and he gave us everything we possess today, even our very breath we have. You know something? That was the That's what the evangelist preached about when I was a 10-year-old boy and I heard that story and I came to Jesus. I came to Jesus the first time I ever heard the invitation. And I'll tell you who gets the credit, my mother, because she had taught me all about Jesus and all about how he died for us and all the whole story she had told us about that. And when the evangelist came and told us, I was ready. And I came to Jesus as a 10-year-old boy. And so this is what it's telling us today. It's not easy to help others. We have to go out of our way. It's a lot easier just to... The other side of the road is the easiest side. And we can spend all of our time on ourselves and do our own things and not have to worry. The other side is not pleasant to help other people, to bind up wounds and to see suffering and to see people in trouble. And we have to leave our TV and we have to leave our pleasant homes. We got to skip some ball games and fishing trips and golfing stuff and go out and help somebody. And it might be your next door neighbor. And your neighbor is anybody in need that you see. And maybe that person is there just as look as like $1 million, got a broken heart. And you have the answer in Jesus, wonderful Jesus. And we need to go there. There are hearts that are aching and breaking. There are tears that are being shed. There's hands that are being wrung. There are people. They might be the one sitting next to you in church. Might be the ones right in school with you. Some of the young people are having their troubles and trials. And you need to go over like the Good Samaritan and put your hand on and help them. Now, it isn't popular to help other people. The Samaritan's ministry was undoubtedly done in obscurity. Nobody saw it. Oh, yes, somebody saw it. God saw it. And that's all that counts. And so he goes over, and whether it's he's seen or not, he does it. And he takes care of it. And God writes it down and puts it down. And another thing about this, it might cost you some money. And it might cost you some time. And it might cost you some effort. It isn't going to be a cheap thing when you hear this poor old widow. And she has her children and she's struggling. She's having a hard time. She needs, and she doesn't have groceries. She needs more than a dial of prayer. She needs more than a pat on the back. She needs more than a pious, I'll pray for you. She needs some money and some time, and it costs to do that. And if you want to be a good Samaritan, you'll need to have to get out and help and do things for people. The poor widow is going to cost money. She's going to cost time and money and prayers and efforts and all of the rest of it. Whoever that person is needed, I'm going to tell you, I've been in the ministry 71 years, and there are needs on every side. People suffering and people hurting. And here I stand with a pocket full of money and I don't do a thing to help him. The cheap, easy shortcut is not the Christian pathway. It's the Christian way is to go and to help others. And I'm going to tell you something else you might not think about, but it's a risky business to help other people. You know what they used to do on the road to Jericho? Well, one of the robbers would lie out on the road like he'd been beaten. And when you'd go over to help him, the thieves would jump on you and beat you to death and take your money and rob you. There, he was a decoy. Well, when you help other people, sometimes they may try to take advantage of you. And what did they do with Jesus? They all forsook him and fled. And here he's dying for them. And you may experience the same thing. So let us just do this. We have to help people. We have to have a heart for people. And so I want to ask you this. Do you have a heart for people? Well, you never will until you have Jesus in your heart, because God is love. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into our heart, they have the love of Christ, and then we get our strength and our help. And today, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you just need to say, Jesus, I want to be the Good Samaritan. You just say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake them as the best I can. And I'll serve you and then walk with you, dear Lord. And then thank Jesus. And then tell somebody what you've done. And then write to us and we'll send you some literature. Oh, I'm just praying today that you'll put your faith in the Lord. And those of you on beds of sickness, and those of you that are shut in, and now winter's coming on, and you're going to be in there all winter long, and Jesus will be with you. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And this Christian worship hour, we pray for you all the time. Before I close today, I'm going to pray for you. And so you need to pray for us. And if you have some money, you need to help us, because, you know, we have to pay our way like anybody else. And God tells us in the Bible, the reason you don't have it is because you don't tell anybody. You have not because you ask not, James says. And so we're telling you, we got to have your help. And if you want this to continue, you need to stand by and you need to help us. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send us a gift on ChristianWorshipHour.com, you can do that. Now let me pray. Heavenly Father, I'm praying first of all for those who open their heart to you during this service. I know there are multitudes that have done that. Bless them and encourage them. And now, Lord, to those who are shut-ins and those who are on beds of sickness and wheelchairs, and those who can't get around and can't get about, just bless them with your presence and take them up into your arms and help them to know that you are there and that you'll always help them and you love them. And someday, if they trust you, you'll take them home. Bless them, Lord. We love them and we know that you love everyone. And we thank you for your nearness and your help in Jesus' name. Amen. And so God bless you, dear friends. We're going to be thinking about you this week. And Lord willing, we'll be back next week. And in the meantime, you pray for us and we'll pray for you. Maybe you want to write to us. You have the address there on the screen. And you just send us a letter. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have a prayer request, send that along. We'll pray for you. And then together, someday when the time will be no more, the Lord's going to come again, and we're all going to be with the Lord in heaven because we trust in Jesus. You have to have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you have no hope in this life or the life to come, but only a terrible destiny. And so we pray for you. We pray for every one of you. We love you. God loves you. We love you. And the Christian Worship Hour has you at heart. So you have a good week, and we'll get along. And next week, we're going to be thinking about how that God works everything together for good. You'll get some help from that. God bless you, everyone. Amen.
You've been watching the Christian Worship Hour, the weekly broadcast that brings good news to the lost and encouragement to the believer. We hope that today's program has been a blessing in your life. Support our ministry by contacting us at the Christian Worship Hour, P.O. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or visit us online at ChristianWorshipHour.com. Be sure to join next week for another life-changing message from Pastor Salem.